Tonight's devotion is Enoch's faith, taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 6. There are two Enochs in the book of Genesis. The first man, Enoch, was recorded in Genesis chapter 4, and the second Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 is a description of the godly line through Seth, whereas Genesis chapter 4 is a description of the ungodly line through Cain. Though both bear the same name Enoch, and the name Enoch means dedicated. One was dedicated to God, and the other was dedicated to self. One walked with God, and the other walked in pride and violence. The Enoch in Genesis chapter 4 is not the same Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. This Enoch in chapter 4 does not walk with God. He descended from Cain, who is a violent man, and is also the great-grandfather of the man called Lamech. There are also two Lamechs in the book of Genesis. Again, not the Lamech in chapter 5. This is the ungodly Lamech. This man started the first polygamy. Genesis chapter 4 verse 19 says, "And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of one Ada, and the name of the other Zillah." And you also notice in Genesis chapter 4, the rapid development of culture and materialism. Verses 20 to 22 says, "And Ada bare Jubal. He was a father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. But his brother's name was Jubal. He was a father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artifice in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah." You would see the development in Genesis chapter 4, that man's depravity sinks him deeper and deeper. This ungodly Lamech was a violent murderer. Genesis 4:23-24 says, "And Lamech said unto his wife Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain should be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. He proudly announced that he killed a man for wounding him, and he killed a boy who got into his way. And, you know, the boy perhaps just bumped into him and he killed him. Anyone who wants to avenge his blood will suffer 70 and sevenfold. He lived the way he pleased, in defiance of God. Total disregard of the sanctity or sacredness of human life, made in the image of God." This morning we spoke about the punishable crimes by death. What are those crimes that God would deem as serious enough to be punishable by death? You know, one of those important ones is disregard for father and mother, and the authority that was in the home. Here, you see how when a man takes the life of another man, there is a total disregard, the Bible says, for the sacredness of the human life. Because the Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God. At least, we said, Cain was afraid and pleaded with God, and God spared his life. But this man, Lamech's violent behavior is much worse. He kills a man, and that's not enough. He kills a boy. He's a self-willed man and did what was right in his own eyes. And such crime multiplied so much that by Genesis chapter 6, God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of the heart was only evil continually. The earth was corrupt before God and filled with violence, and it grieved him at his heart. Genesis 6:6 tells us that he had judged the world by a global flood. And so as we review Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 5, you see Genesis chapter 5, a description of the godly life. Yet, you see, it is also a diary of death. 10 generations of famous patriarchs were described from Adam to Noah, and it's like reading the obituary page in the newspaper. Because of man's sin passed down from Adam's fall, men thereafter suffered the judgment and curse for sin, which is physical death. And we notice also that this man, here the Bible described this man were born on such a day, lived for so many years, and died on such a day. A sobering and sad truth that death is the greatest impasse for all mankind, with one exception, the man Enoch. The Bible described did not die. The Bible says he was translated. He was transported physically, bodily, to heaven without seeing physical death. Genesis 5, 21 to 24 described this man. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was not. Genesis 5:24 says, God took him. And Hebrews 11 verse 5 tells us how Enoch was not, and how God took him. Enoch was translated. He did not see death. Enoch was translated. He should not see death, text says, and was not found. Right? They couldn't find his body because God had taken him bodily to heaven. God had translated him. The word translated literally means as causing a change from one place to another, transfer. To bring from one place to transplant. He was transported, in other words, from heaven to earth. So heaven is a place that can physically contain the human body. This Enoch was the seventh from Adam who did not die. Hebrews 11 verse 5 tells us what distinguished Enoch was his faith. What is the special character of Enoch's faith? It is said that he pleased God. He was a man approved of God and received a pleasing report of his life from God. Genesis 5:24 tells us that Enoch walked with God. So the two thoughts that we want to consider concerning Enoch's faith is how he was rewarded verse 5a, and how he is worthy of reward, verse 5b to verse 6. Enoch was rewarded. Enoch did not see death, for he simply disappeared to heaven. There was another man in the Bible who also disappeared, Elijah. Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11 described how he disappeared. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So a chariot came and took him to heaven. God sent his heavenly vehicle to transport him bodily to heaven. It was the greatest honor that God can bestow upon us, to be brought to heaven without seeing death. Genesis chapter 5, all the patriarchs died with the exception of Enoch. He understood the timetable of God for this world, and he aligned his life to it. It was pleasing to God. He spent his life sharing the living and true God that he knows with the other people that was living in the world at that time. Jude chapter 1 verse 14 describes how he passed his time. Jude 1:14 says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Enoch prophesied of our Lord's second coming. He knew the seed of the woman who will come to bruise the head of the serpent. He took God's revelation to him seriously and lived a life well aware of the coming judgment of God. And so this man, though he has long gone, we said he, being dead, yet continue to speak a vital lesson for us today. He will return with his saints as the judge of judges. Jesus is coming again. And this is a warning that this man Enoch gave. And when he comes, when our Lord Jesus returns, he will receive his church at an event called the rapture, a term that is used to describe a time of mass translation of believers. Submit to you that this time is coming. The signs around us tells us that it can be any time. And the question that is before us is this: are you ready? Is your family ready? May this truth help us to live circumspectly, redeeming the time. 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 to 18 describe the Apostle Paul concerning the rapture of the church. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow. He's speaking about the Christians who died in Christ. They are described as being asleep, and one day they will awake again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Therefore, ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So last Saturday, a man who confessed the Lord Jesus Christ was laid to rest at the Choa Chu Kang Christian Cemetery. God saved him 4 days before God took him home. It was phenomenal, something that the Lord showed himself mysteriously, miraculously powerful for us to see that God is real, that he is still saving souls today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is a translation we are speaking of. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So the first thought, we said, rewarded. That was Enoch's life. How he pleased God. How God rewarded him. And how was he worthy of reward? Verse 5b, verse 6 tells us, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And he did not please men, but he pleased God. God approved of him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So is the explanation concerning how he pleased God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How did Enoch please God? Genesis 5, 21 and 24 tells us that Enoch walked with the living and true God. Verse 21 says, and Enoch walked with God. And verse 24, again it was repeated. And Enoch walked with God. This Enoch lived a godly life. You notice the word God. Elohim has a definite article attached to the original Hebrew word. Enoch walked with the God. He did not walk with any other God of this world, but he walked with the God, the living and true God. Why did the inspired writer put the definite article? If you make a search, this is the first time that the word the is placed on God. Why? To identify him. Because he was about to be crowded out of the by the imagination, foolish imagination of men. So, the God, to distinguish the living and true God from the gods of this world, worshipped at that time. And you will notice Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:3, the word Elohim, God, was described as the creator of heaven and earth in the creation account. And when Adam was created, God is called the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, or Jehovah God, to signify the personal relationship that man has with his creator. For in him was made the image of his creator. And you will see from Genesis 2:3 to the end of Genesis 3 that describe the fall of man. Then in Genesis 4 you see Cain's worship, how the fallen man was faulty in his worship of God. He worshipped God on his own terms, and God had no respect for Cain's offering. This is what we saw last week, which was the fruit of the ground instead of the firstlings of the flock. That severed the relationship with the living and true God. For in the book of Genesis 4, it said that they stopped calling upon the name of the Lord until God gave to Adam and Eve another son called Enos. Cain killed his brother Abel. You see that men married, the sons of God married the daughters of men. Genesis 6. This unequal yoke plunged men into greater depravity. And Genesis 6:9 tells us of another man called Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Not that he had no sin, but he was counted complete in the sight of God. Noah walked with God. The next person that the God was used was the man Abraham. Abraham prayed to the God. What am I speaking about here? Well, this man Enoch, Noah, Abraham are men of God because they worship the living and true God. They knew who this God is. They have a flourishing spiritual life. They knew the living and true God and chose to serve Him. It was not self-will, but God's will for their lives. They had the true knowledge of the living and true God and flourished by their obedience. Adam must have taught Seth, Seth taught Enos, and Enos taught Cainan, Cainan taught Mahalalel, Mahalalel taught Jared, Jared, and Jared taught Enoch. And Solomon, at the end of his eventful life, summed up life when he said in Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It is the fear of the God. Why did Solomon use the God? Well, I believe that at the end of his life, Israel was filled with idols, with the foreign wives that he married. And he wanted to distinguish between the living and true God with all the false gods. And the kings of Israel are commanded by God to write a copy of the law and study it all their lives, so that the fear of God may abide with them. Solomon must have copied God's law and noticed how the Holy Spirit highlighted the lives of godly men. And the first in the line was Enoch. Solomon, when he saw it, understood the basic trait of a godly man is holiness. Fear God and keep his commandments. Not sinless perfection, but holiness. There is a fear of God. There's a fear to offend God in a person's life. And there is a willingness to submit to the laws of God, to the will of God. And that counted that man righteous. And notice also Moses, the lawgiver, was called the man of the God. Deuteronomy 33:1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, the man who worshipped, followed that living and true God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Therefore we see that Enoch was special because he walked with the living and true God. He identified himself who that God is. And we can deduce from the phrase study of the God that Enoch was a God-fearer. Enoch's life was one of self-restraint and self-mortification. He put to death the carnality within him and lived above the corruption in him and around him. He embarked upon the ministry of warning, even preaching of the Lord's coming. And his great-grandson Noah preached without apology to warn the people of the global flood that was coming. And he had a good example in his great-grandfather Enoch. Enoch's walk was characterized by an overcoming faith. And so we see this in the hall of faith, this text that we are seeing in Hebrews 11. Those who walk with God, besides Abel, who was murdered by his brother, the next in line is Enoch, followed by Abraham and his godly seed, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, then Moses. Enoch was singled out as one who walked by faith. By faith, Noah, or Enoch, was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because the God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased the God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to the God must believe that he is and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he had that faith that was able to overcome every false way, every false teaching of the world around him. He diligently seek the God. He lived a life of dependence upon his God, of close communion. He will not live with anything less than God's will for his life. So every decision that he makes, he sought the Lord. In our terms, he said that he searched the scripture and will not give up until he is able to find out exactly the will of God for each stage of his life, and he will walk in it. Do you have some decision that you have to make? Will he not provide for us that example? He diligently sought God so that he knew what was the will of God, and he walked therein, and that's how he pleased God. He will not let the tides of worldview distract him from this walk with God. He was resolute and determined to walk by faith, taking God at his word and living by it. Indeed, God worked in the heart of Noah, of Enoch, to seek him. He was a born again man possessing true faith. And you notice that the hymn in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 refers to the God, right? The original Greek. It is interesting to observe that there is a definite article attached to the word theos, the God, whole theos. And as you make a search of the phrase please God, you will arrive at two texts. First, Romans 8 verse 8, and second, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1. Enoch was a spirit-filled man, and Enoch lived in holiness before God. How can we live in holiness before God? Romans 8 verse 1 tells us, therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and he has washed you from all your sins, then there is no condemnation in you, and you will know it, and that you will walk not after the flesh, because the Spirit of God is in you to show you the better way. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How can the righteousness of the law be fulfilled in us? Because Christ has did it all for us. He gave to us that righteousness. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Remember, life comes from Jesus Christ. And when you have him, he gives to you his peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are of the flesh cannot please God. And so Enoch was a man who lived in the Spirit. He was Spirit-led. He understood that battle within him between the flesh and the Spirit, and he diligently sought God so that he would not succumb to the lusts of the flesh. So the life of faith, in practical terms, means a life of prayer and his word. He will not be sidetracked by his own self-will, but sought to fulfill God's will for our lives. What about us? Are we living with overcoming faith? Or are we attracted by the life of Enoch and Lamech in Genesis chapter 4? A life of materialism and seeking to be indulged in the culture of our times. Well, we have to answer this question ourselves, who we really are. Is there really a change in you? Or are you still the same? Better be sure. If there's no change, then better ask yourself why there's still no change. A self-seeking life, there is much enslavement in this materialistic world. Today, every young adult must inevitably be pulled into this materialistic mold. The starting salary for a graduate, perhaps $1,800 20 years ago. Today, $2,500, $3,000. But the cost of a house is many times more. Families will have to compromise, perhaps both husband and wife, to work to keep up with their lifestyle. And this is enslavement. We have no choice but to keep our work, to continue, so afraid that we will lose our job. You can go for a business trip, and go for a business trip, and then continue to give your life totally to your work without a regard for anything else, even our own loved ones. That's sad. We are afraid. We are holding on to the material things. Carnally minded. That's sad. And we cannot take a life with less, materially speaking. It's so sad when children come home, no one to care for. Children are sent to grandparents or to child care center. Enoch walked in holiness, not sinless perfection, but he sought God's forgiveness when he may have sinned. 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And the other passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:1-5, Paul says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. But ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye may abstain from fornication," every sexual sin. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscences, even as Gentiles which know not God." Practical holiness is a lifelong process of cleansing, seeking God for cleansing through Jesus Christ from sin and pursuing righteousness. And victory comes through practicing holiness habits, exercising oneself to godliness through meditation on God's word and prayer. Matthew 6:13 says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Do you pray and ask God to shield you from every temptation? Because the evil one would want you to fall. There's much spoil with it. May we walk with God as Enoch walked with God in the light of Christ's soon return. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, thank thee for thy mercy in showing us the life of Enoch, that faith that he has in diligently seeking God, and how it pleased thee, Enoch's life. Lord, help us to learn from him. God, give us the faith of Enoch in this time where faith is want. May thou be gracious and merciful to thy people. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.